Hallelujah. We're going to be talking about living a life of compassion. So I'd like you to just stand to your feet for a second here this morning. And let me just give you the big idea verse, all right? We'll just have one verse and one parable this morning. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion. Say with me this morning, clothe yourselves with what? With compassion. Then everything else that goes with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. But this morning, the big idea is clothe yourself with compassion. Father in heaven, we thank you right now that you've been compassionate towards us. Lord, I just pray that at even a greater level, we'll learn to be more compassionate with others. And we just pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. So Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning by your word and make us the people of God you've called us to be. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Hold your Bibles high in the sky and say, this is my Bible, the living and powerful, proven word of God, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, God's holy word, on which I stand. And having done all, I'm going to stand on the word of God. Whatever the word of God says I am, whatever the word of God says I have, whatever the word of God says I can do, say with me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. We're in a great series right now on the fruit of the Spirit, and it's called Living Life in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, endurance, and then compassion. And that word compassion has to do with kindness. So in this series right now, we're talking about the nine fruit of the Spirit, and every Sunday we're covering a different one. This Sunday, as you can see, we're talking about compassion. Say with me this morning, compassion. So this is the fifth fruit of the Spirit. This is the fifth message in our series of nine ways to live a more fulfilling and fruitful life. And I'm telling you what, God wants us to have every one of these nine fruit of the Spirit active in our lives so that we can live life in the Spirit. Say with me this morning, living life in the Spirit. So this morning we're going to be talking about living life in the Spirit, and living life in the Spirit requires compassion. That word compassion, it means a quality of showing kindness or favor. Say with me this morning, kindness. In your Bible it'll say, in most translations it's kindness, but their kindness and compassion are interchangeable. So it's the kindness or favor of being gracious and having pity or mercy with somebody else. So there are so many other stories in the Bible that we could talk about compassion when we think about Jesus being a compassionate Savior and God being a compassionate God. But when we're thinking about stories that we could illustrate compassion, one of my most favorite one is the story of the Good Samaritan. So I want you to take your Bibles out this morning and turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. We're going to just unpack this story for a little bit this morning. The story of the Good Samaritan. How many of you know this story already and you like this story? Give me a loud amen. So Luke chapter 10, verse 25. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation this morning. However, as you read along in your Bibles, whether it's an NIV or a New King James, it'll read about the same, all right? So one day an expert in religious law, who is a lawyer, he stood up to test Jesus by asking him the question, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit or to receive eternal life?" So Jesus replied to the lawyer. He says, "Well, what does the book of Moses say?" What are the, and when he's talking about the law of Moses, how do you read it? He said, "What do you make of it?" When he's talking about the law of Moses, he's talking about the Pentateuch or the five books of Moses or the Torah. So the lawyer certainly knew this, and he says, "Well," he says, "you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and all of your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself." How many know that those are the two top commandments? Loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Can I get a witness? Amen. And then loving your neighbor as yourself. So say it with me this morning, loving God, loving others. In fact, if you get those two commandments right, you'll get all of the Ten Commandments right as well. So Jesus said this, right, do this and you will live. Just do these two things and you will live. So the man, wanting to justify his actions, he asked Jesus, "So who is my neighbor?" That sounds like a lawyer follow-up question, doesn't it? Wanting to justify his answer, so he's going like, "Well, how do you define neighbor? Who's my neighbor?" And at this, Jesus went on to share one of the most powerful parables of all, the parable of the Good Samaritan. So let me ask you a question there this morning. What is a parable? A parable is a story that makes a point. A parable is a story that makes a point. Say it with me this morning. A story that makes a point. And I love this story. In fact, just kind of show a little picture here. There's so many different pictures that you could pull up if you Google the story of the Good Samaritan. But the best pictures will have four characters. They'll have the injured man who was left for dead. They'll have the priest. Then they'll have the Levite, who is a temple assistant. And then they'll have the Good Samaritan who comes to help out the injured man. The best artistic renditions will have at least these four characters in them, all right? So Jesus went on to tell this story, and he said this. Jesus replied with a story. A man, in the New Living Translation says a Jewish man. A Jewish man was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho. Say it with me this morning. From Jerusalem to Jericho is about 17 miles. And they stripped him of his clothes and money. They beat him up, and they left him half dead beside the road. All right, how many know that that was a bad road trip? And so he was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. So if you're going from Jerusalem to Jericho, you're going to be on a descent. You're going to be going downhill. It's going to be a very steep journey. It's going to be on a very treacherous road. And I'm telling you what, at night, there were a lot of thieves and robbers out there. In fact, they called this road the Road of Blood, because it had such a bad reputation as far as people getting hurt. And you go like, well, I'm glad we don't have any roads like that or any places like that at all in our country. Have you ever heard of Chicago? I think right now in the last 4 or 5 days, there's been over 60 people killed just in Chicago. How many know that that can be just, in other words, there are certain regions that can be treacherous more than others. And the Road of Blood here from Jerusalem to Jericho, it was notorious for people being robbed and being beat up and even left for dead. So this Jewish man was left for dead. And you'd have thought only the New Living Translation calls him a Jewish man, but that's significant to me because you would think that a Jew would help a Jew. But you'll find out in just a second that that isn't necessarily true. You'd have thought maybe the priest or the Levite would have helped him, but not because he was a Jewish man, all right? So by chance, a Jewish priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. This is the priest. How many of you think that maybe a pastor or a priest might have taken the first step just to set an example and would have had compassion on this person, but instead he walked over on the other side? Now, secondly, a temple assistant called a Levite, say it with me this morning, a Levite, he walked over and he looked at him lying there and he also passed by on the other side. But watch this. The priest saw him from a distance, walked by on the other side, didn't want to get involved. But then a Levite follows up. A Levite was a temple assistant. So you'd just think that a Levite would have some acumen in administration, in organization, and getting things together, pulling people together, because that's what he did for a living. He comes over and looks at the injured man. He observes him. I can see him maybe taking his beard and kind of going like this, looking him over. He didn't just stop. He didn't pass from a distance. He stops and looks him over, but then he goes on from there and leaves from there. How many know that if you were that injured man, you'd hope that he'd do more than just stop? So then a despised Samaritan comes along. Say with me this morning, a Samaritan, but not just a Samaritan. The Word of God brings out that he was a despised Samaritan. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. The person that you'd have thought least likely to help this injured man was the one that came alongside to help him. And he was a despised Samaritan. Now, Samaritans were despised by the Jews because they intermarried with foreigners and Gentiles. In other words, they were no longer pure Jews anymore because they had intermarried outside of their Jewish faith. And so he was a despised Samaritan, but he's the one that helped him. How do you know that if you were laying in a ditch dying, you wouldn't really be asking for ID at the time? Can I get a witness? Let me see your background, see if your credentials are good enough to help me. All you'd say is, I just need help, right? And let me just kind of just interject right here. Because the Good Samaritan helped this person, now God changed how we perceive that word Samaritan. Now you have hospitals called Good Samaritan hospitals and clinics called Good Samaritan clinics and ministries called Good Samaritan ministries because the Samaritan was good. Amen? So God turned that around. What was perceived as bad before turned out to be good. So now let's watch what happens. The Samaritan, he went over to him, going over to him and kneeling beside him. Say with me, kneeling beside him. The Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. In Israel, they have some of the greatest olive oil in the world. Of course, you've got Italy too, but I'm just saying that there's wonderful olive oil that comes out of Israel. And we've got some in our own pantry, some olive oil from Israel. They poured in he soothed the wound with olive oil and wine, and he bandaged him up. So he poured in the oil and the wine. The oil was to soothe, and the wine was to disinfect, all right? Then he put the man on his own donkey, and he took him to an inn where he took care of him. So today, you go like, well, Pastor Perry, I don't have a donkey. Well, you've got a Honda Civic. Can I get a witness? Amen? So it'd be the same thing as if he took him in his own car, and he took him to the place where he needed to be taken care of. So let me just give you three things that happened with the Good Samaritan. First of all, he was interrupted. Say with me, he was interrupted. And let me tell you what, if you're a believer today and you have any kind of compassion, there's going to be times in life that you're going to be interrupted. Somebody said that Jesus was the most interrupted man that ever walked the earth, but Jesus turned every interruption into an opportunity to help somebody else. Amen? So you're going to be interrupted, but look at your interruptions as an opportunity to be a blessing. Secondly, he was inconvenienced. Have you ever got a call that kind of inconvenienced you? And a call that kind of really required compassion, and yet it inconvenienced you. And I'll tell you what, we all get inconvenienced, but I'll tell you what, work through that inconvenience because God wants to make you a blessing. And then the third thing, the Good Samaritan was invoiced. He was invoiced. The hotel gave him a bill. And sometimes when you're taking care of people, it's actually going to cost you something, all right? But here's what happened. The Good Samaritan was driven by compassion. Say it with me this morning. He was driven by compassion, and his actions literally saved a life. Thank God. Now, Jesus gets to the end of this parable, and a parable is a story with a point. And he says, now, which of these would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Which of you would say was a neighbor? And the expert in law, he replied, he says, well, it's the one who had mercy on him. It was the Good Samaritan. And that word mercy means charity, compassion, or kindness. In other words, he showed him these virtues. And Jesus said this, you're right, you got it right. He says, go and do likewise. Say it with me this morning, go and do likewise. So what is the point of the parable, and what is Jesus saying to us today? Here's what he's saying, go and do likewise. Say with me this morning, go and do likewise. All right? How many of you love this story? I love this story. Now, let me just give you four takeaways from the Good Samaritan this morning. Four takeaways, all right? Number one, compassion is what you see. It's what you see. Look at the verse that says this, then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion and sympathy for him. I want you to just see this morning, compassion begins with seeing something. I see a need, but now what am I going to do about it? The question is, what do you see, and are you moved by what you see? Let me just ask you a question here this morning. How many of you ever seen something and you were moved by what you saw? Just a few weeks ago, it was a couple of weeks ago, just actually, I was driving through Delta Shores, the new shopping center they put up there on the 5. They can build a shopping center in 2 years. We can't build one in 20 years. I don't know why that is. You can quote me on that, too. Did Pastor Perry really say that? Someday there'll be a shopping center. They told me when I came here 16 years ago that it would be up in 2 years. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, that's just called I digress, okay? But I saw that night, it was a night time, and we were leaving a business establishment, and I saw a man that had a sign that said hungry, and I've seen these before, but something just touched me about that. Why it touched me is because I had the ability to help him. And so I went and drove to the In-N-Out Burger to get him a hamburger. I didn't get one for myself. I told this last Sunday, but what I'm saying is you'll be driven by compassion when you see something. And the problem we run into is when we see something and there's nothing inside of us that wants to respond anymore. That means we're running low on compassion. How do you know that we see it and we need to be moved by it? The more you become like Jesus, the greater your level of compassion is going to be. And it's hard for me to say no. It's hard for me to say no to people that are in need. It's hard for me not to try to do something with for people that are in need. And I think the same is for you as well. Compassion is more, though, than just seeing. You know, a lot of people see things. Compassion is what you do. Say it with me this morning. Compassion is what you do. So compassion really is action. Say it with me this morning. Compassion is action. It's more than seeing, it's doing. So watch this now. The man, the Good Samaritan, he going over to him, he knelt down beside him. Say it with me. He went over to him. He knelt down beside him. Then the Good Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine. Then he bandaged them up. Then he put the man on his own donkey. He took him to an inn, and there he took care of him. And then he talked to the innkeeper. Here's the point. The Samaritan didn't just see a need. He did something about the need that he saw. In fact, all told, if you count up how many actions the Good Samaritan took, he took over 9 actions to help this man that was wounded. He did over 9 separate steps to help this person that was new, that was injured. So compassion is not just what you see. Compassion is what you do. Can I get a witness here this morning, amen? Now, when Jesus fed the 5,000, one of the greatest miracles that ever took place because it affected so many people, he was moved by compassion. That's why he fed the 5,000. When Jesus fed the 4,000, it was compassion. He was driven by compassion. When Jesus healed 2 blind men, he was driven by compassion. When Jesus raised the dead, he was driven by compassion. When Jesus saw the thief on the cross, remember he saw the thief on the cross? He was driven by compassion, and he said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Jesus did almost everything he did because he was driven by compassion. Let me just say it to you this morning. How many of you know that we need to be more driven by compassion? Amen. Not just seeing, but doing what we're called to do. In fact, the Bible says this in the book of Acts. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing a good. Say it with me this morning. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, and God was with him. All who were oppressed by the devil, and God was with him. How do you know that if you'll go about doing good, God will be with you as well? Jesus went about doing good. Let me just say the big takeaway here this morning. We need to be going about and doing good as well. Can I get a witness here this morning, amen? Jesus not only saw needs, but he did something about them. Compassion is action. Say with me this morning, compassion is action. Compassion is not only what you see, it's what you do. You know, this weekend, Harvest Church has had the opportunity to demonstrate compassion by giving away free water at the Western Festival in Elk Grove. We thought we're going to take the gospel to the streets, again, get back out to the park. So we have a little tent out there at the Western Festival, and we're giving away free water, complimentary free water. So what we ask the people to do is we say, you must fill out this card with your whole information, and then you must come to church on Sunday, and then maybe we'll give you a bottle of water. No, that's not what we do. They're not interested, I can tell you what. No, we just give them a bottle of water with a smile on our face. Can I get a witness? Amen. We're just doing that. That's easy compassion to take. Easy compassion. I'm not even trying. I'm just saying that we're there. And if you're there today, you can kind of stop by the tent. And what we're trying to say is those are little things that you can do to have compassion. But later this summer, on July 16 to 20th, Harvest Church is going to have the opportunity to help rebuild a church that was destroyed in the North Bay wildfire area. So out by Napa area, we're going to have the opportunity this summer to help to rebuild a church. That's going to be when we're going to take around 50 people with us. That's going to be compassion in action. You'll be hearing more about this project soon and how you can be a part of it. But God's wanting us to do more than just look at a need. He wants us to be able to do something about to help people. Compassion in action. I have on my Facebook page, I've got, you know, they have, you know, put down your little philosophy of life or whatever it is, and I just put on mine, you know, my simple approach to life is this, all right? Here's what I've got on my Facebook page. Love God, love others, live a transformed life. Say with me this morning, love God, love others, live a transformed life. But then I added this in there, make a difference and leave it better than you found it. So say with me this morning, make a difference, leave it better than you found it. I do that in a lot of different ways. As you know, and people ask me about this, I pick up a lot of trash. Every morning that I go out to walk and pray, 6 days a week, I pick up trash, and I pick up good trash, and I pick up bad trash. And I pick up nasty trash. But you know what? Every time that I do it, I leave it better than I found it. It's my little way of leaving it better than I found it. I try to do that in a very simple way, but then I try to do it as well in I'm talking about with people. When I'm interacting with people, like there's a ring right now, it'll go away. Just because, see how that worked? Just like that. I not only heard it, I said something about it, and it went away. What I'm trying to say here, I'm just saying, when you're working with people, when you're interacting with people, think of the Good Samaritan and say, you know what, how can I make this situation just a little bit better? Can I get a witness? So compassion has to do with action. Now, the third thing this morning is this. Compassion is how you do it, not just what you do, but how you do it. And Jesus asked the lawyer, he said, which one do you think was a neighbor? And the lawyer answers back, and he says, I think it was the one that had mercy on him and showed him compassion. And Jesus said, right this. He says, you're right. Do this and you will live. But here's what I want you to see this morning, church family, is this. Whatever you do, do it with love. Say with me this morning, do it with love. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, it says this, though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So you can do a lot of things in life, but make sure that you do it with love. Because you can say, man, I'm helping all of these people. I'm giving all I've got to help the poor. I give away all of my goods. But if you don't have love, it doesn't profit you anything at all. Make sure that everything that you do is not only driven by compassion, but compassion mixed with love. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen. And then the fourth thing this morning is this, compassion has a cost. It has a cost. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 pieces of silver, and he told him to take care of the man. And he says this, if the bills run higher than that, he said, I'll pay the difference the next time that I'm in, back at the inn. Now, here's what happened. He took him to the Holiday Inn Express. He put down his American Express card. He said, you know what? I've got a business trip I'm going to be on, but I've already bandaged him up. I've already taken care of him. He just needs to rest right now, but I'm going to come back in 2 days, and I'll settle any more accounts that I've got. Sometimes you can be compassionate and take care of a need without any cost, but many times it has some cost to it. Do any of you have kids? You know? But my kids really can take care of themselves quite well, although I still help them. The other day, my son-in-law and his daughter, they've been so busy with a little baby. When I went down there to visit them, I took their old cars out, and my son's an engineer. He takes good care, lives in a moderate house and everything. He's a good manager and all of that. They drive older vehicles, and I took those cars out, and I filled them up with gas. And one was $65, and the one was $85. And then I took, because it was an old Expedition, and it uses oil. So I thought, well, I'm going to check the oil. And I put in oil. This was just last week. I put in oil, 1 quart, 2 quarts, pull out the dipstick, still dry, 3 quarts, still dry. Oh, no. I said, man. So then I put 4 quarts in there and finally found the dipstick. And so, and by the way, it only holds 6 quarts. You know, it's way, way low. And that car is so old. It's a 2000... whatever it was, it's 2005, I think it is, and it's just worn out. It's got a couple 100,000 miles on it, but they had not kind of looked at the, so you do that, and that was just driven by, you know, compassionate love for my own kids. So I took care of that, and then I was holding up the hood on the crazy, on the car, and the hood hit, came down and hit me in the head. And then I go like, you know, it was hot outside, was in Fresno, and it was like, boom, hits me in the head. Then it did that over and over again. So the gas shocks on the side of the hood, those were worn out. And so, and, well, long ago worn out. So then I said to my son-in-law, I said, you know, the oil, you need to check that every now and then. And he says, we've been kind of busy with the kid, and that's true, he really has been. But then the shocks, I said, well, you can just buy those at the, O'Reilly or AutoZone. You don't have to buy them at Ford at all. You, in other words, or you can just get them pretty cheap. But then I went home and I thought, well, you know what? I'll just go on Amazon and look those things up. And I found them. There they were for $20. And I said, I just sent him a pair of shocks. So he sent me a video yesterday that he had installed those shocks. It's a pretty easy fix, you know, put them on. The hood went up by itself now. It didn't fall down in your head. It went up by itself. And it was just another thing of saying, okay, you're going to show some compassion, but you actually improve the situation for that person. Can I get a witness? That's a small little microcosm of what we can do even in bigger things that are way more serious than those. But along the road of life, we'll always find people that need a compassionate touch. Let's give them a compassionate touch in the name of Jesus. Can I get a witness? Amen. Now, compassion has a cost, but whatever cost you incur helps to bring help and healing and hope to those who are in need, all right? So compassion, being compassionate will many times have a cost, but when you pay that cost, whatever cost you incur brings help and healing and hope to those who are hurting. So always be compassionate. Have a compassionate touch. Hallelujah. So let's kind of end this morning where we began, and it'll come up on the screen. Therefore, as God's holy people, say with me this morning, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, what, clothe yourselves with compassion. Say with me this morning, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, everything that goes with it. But be compassionate this morning, and God will bless you for it. In fact, the Good Samaritan, again, was a despised Samaritan, but because of his great act of compassion, he is remembered to this day. We're talking about him today. Hospitals are named after him today. Why? Just because he was compassionate. Let me just say here this morning, let's go out of this place today somehow letting the level of compassion in our lives rise to a new level. And if you're with me on that, give the Lord a great hand clap of praise. Would you do that? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand with me all across the room today. Amen. I won't say this in the second service, but thank you this morning. I didn't wear a tie today because I go like, well, I'm just not going to wear a tie. And so it's a new day for Pastor Perry. And then you were compassionate. You never even noticed it till I said now. There, hey, he's not wearing a tie. What's the deal here? Why didn't he wear a tie? Because he didn't feel like it. That's why. And all right. Hey, everyone. When I look at you, honestly, I wish that I could say I'm preaching this sermon out of some kind of a felt need, but it's not true. Because I'm looking at you just by, in a sweeping way here this morning, you're already on the compassionate track. You are already compassionate people. Let's just look for ways to even be more compassionate. And if our heart has grown small to that degree, if we haven't been as feeling as we should be or as sensitive as we should be, if we just see it but don't do anything about it, there we're missing the mark. But now that when we see a need, let's do our best to do it, to meet the need. Hallelujah. I had a brother here in, I'll just say what happened. I don't know if Markel is here. Is Markel? He's with the choir. Markel's with the choir. But when Markel first moved here, man, he had the worst old piece of junk car in Minneapolis that was just worn out. And so worn out, they just basically just left it behind. It wasn't worth transporting over here to California. But then really didn't have the means to buy a new car with moving into a rented house and just with the children and everything and just really just everything, you know, tight on budget. And but somebody from our church just saw that he had a need and had a used vehicle, a van, and they just said, we're just going to give it to him, you know. And they just gave it to him just free and clear. I mean, they saw a need, and then they had compassion, and they said, we're not going to sell it to you. We're just going to give it to you. So that's the kind of people you are. You're on that track. Stay on that track. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen. Give the Lord a great hand clap for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Man, if I started telling stories this morning, I'd probably make a lot of people uneasy and possibly embarrassed for their own kindnesses. There's people I could pick out here right now, and they would just go, Pastor, don't even say anything about it. But there's individuals in this room here that have been so good to other people. You are a good Samaritan. Keep it up. Can I get a witness here this morning? Just keep it up. Father in heaven, we love you so much. You were compassionate to us. You're a compassionate Savior. Your mercies, they never end. They're new every morning. And your faithfulness is great. Lord, as I look at it, you're always being compassionate to us. God, help us to catch your heart and to be compassionate to one another. And we just pray this morning, help us to be just like the Good Samaritan. Help us to have this fruit of the Spirit that's called compassion. And we just pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. So Lord, I just speak right now a blessing over your people as we walk out of this place. Let us be filled with compassion. Let us not only see a need, but to do something about it. And Lord, again, I just pray for your blessing, your mercy, your care, your favor over your people today. And we pray it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone that receives that blessing, would you give the Lord a great hand clap of praise? Amen. Amen.